Yes, we're recording. Okay, so let's have a think about what's happening from a global perspective in terms of health and long-term conditions. So we're really talking about kind of global health and taking a kind of global health viewpoint on it. So global health, if you're not kind of used to talking about health in a kind of global context, it's looking at health across the world. Okay, so health issues that go beyond individual countries. So if we compare it to like public health, so within Glasgow, for example, NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, we will have the public health department that works within that health board area. And their focus is on having a look at what takes place with the population of Glasgow and Paisley and Inverclyde and all the areas that health board area covers. So the global health perspective is really kind of recognising that health issues and problems don't stay within those borders, be it a health board area or be it a country. All right, and because as a world population, we travel so much more now. Okay, we're on and off planes for holidays, some people do it for work, and we go to live and work in other countries. So the ability of viruses to move across the world has been kind of greatly speeded up, okay, as we revisit different places. And you will see that there is much more of a kind of global focus on some of the kind of health conditions now. Some examples of global health issues that have been in the news over the last few years, what springs to mind?
Ebola.
Ebola, yep. So that was a really kind of serious issue that was taking place largely, I think, within Africa. But of course, we had members of our own population contracting it. US, different kind of countries were involved. What else? What other kind of viruses?
Zika.
Yes, absolutely. So this is the virus that's spread by a certain mosquito, is that right? And has been affecting certain population groups. Largely, I think, South America, but now spreading into Florida, Miami, other places as well have Zika, is that right? Where else has Zika? Does Southeast Asia have Zika? It does, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Another one that you've maybe heard is the kind of SARS virus. Yep. So is that more a kind of respiratory virus, I think? Which has been... Is that the one that's linked to camels? Or am I just making that up now? Yeah, I think one of them has been linked to camels and our interaction with camels. It might be SARS. So these kind of issues, health issues, which were traditionally could be quite restricted within certain countries, are now much more about kind of global health problems. So think about some of the campaigns, let's compare them. Think about some of the campaigns that our own kind of health board areas and NHS Scotland put out to help us address some of the health issues within Scotland. What kind of public health campaigns spring to mind? What kind of posters do you see at the bus stop or the adverts on telly and stuff?
There's the big MRSA one for a while, that's one that
always
pops into my head.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you see that quite a lot around hospitals and stuff. You'll see like wash your hands or, yep, things like that. Yes, you still know them for sure. Stop smoking, it's a big one. Yeah, all the smoking cessation services, the adverts, things like that. What else?
Christmas time, there's always that alcohol one. Always, always.
Yep. Okay, and we have our Dry January kind of promotion, yeah, to encourage us to think about the amount of alcohol that we're consuming. It's all to do with healthy eating. How many pieces of fruit are you supposed to have a day? None? How many is it?
Five.
How do we know that? Public health tells us. Eat 5 pieces of fruit a day. Eat a couple of portions of oily fish a week. Yep, so these health messages that come across through schools, through the media, they're all promoted by our public health team, okay, encouraging us to adopt more healthy ways of life, our guidelines about exercise, things like that, all right? So that's a kind of public health messages. And you'll see certain ones round about unis. They tend to kind of target things. So quite often you might see posters about meningitis, yeah, because you tend to see more meningitis with university students, okay? Safe sex is another one. Do they still do the condom thing at the freshers' week? They used to try and convince the university staff it would be a good idea to dress up as a condom. Do they still do that?
One of the presidents of the uni was dressed up as a condom as freshers.
Okay. So they try and encourage different messages through different means to different population groups. A lot of the children get the toothbrushing and exercise and eating through and things like that. So what about some of the global health campaigns, the World Health Organization? What kind of things spring to mind in terms of global health goals? Can you think of any?
Dementia.
See that?
Dementia.
Dementia? Yep, definitely a global health challenge and issue. What else?
Obesity.
Obesity?
Yeah. And all the related nutrition.
Absolutely. So there's kind of... Yeah, well, there's two kind of strands in nutrition, isn't there? There's over-nutrition, yep, so there's the kind of obesity strand, and then there's under-nutrition for the people who don't have enough to eat. Yep. So things like maternal health, immunisations, yep, big drive on the moment to try and eradicate some of the conditions that were very prevalent in the UK some time ago. Any idea which ones there's a big drive on to try and eradicate within the world? Polio? Yep. Big push on at the moment to try and cut that out because it has such devastating impact. And it's very easy to try and prevent polio from taking place with immunisation. TB is another one that they're trying to address globally. So you have these kind of local public health challenges and issues, but we're very much part of a kind of global health society, and the World Health kind of Organization has its kind of agenda as well that we all kind of feed into. So what's happening in the world then? What are the main causes of death? Now this slide is from a couple of years ago. One of the challenges about working with global data is that it can be quite difficult to get the most kind of up-to-date picture. So you generally tend to get data that's at least a couple of years old. So right at the top here we have ischemic heart disease, number one killer across the world, followed by stroke. Okay, COPD. Then we have lower respiratory infections, then other kind of respiratory infections, HIV, AIDS, diarrhea, diabetes, road injury, and hypertensive kind of disorders. Anything strike you about that list as being a little bit unusual?
Malaria?
Nope, yep, there's no malaria on that.
There's no cancer.
There's no cancer, okay, on that. So the health picture across the world doesn't necessarily reflect the health picture within the UK, right? So there are different focuses on different conditions in different parts of the world. So to help us start to kind of compare what's happening globally with health, the World Health Organization have divided up the world into six regions. So we have the African region. That's quite kind of self-explanatory. We have the region of the Americas. What countries would that include? This is your geography test. Mexico? See that bit at the edge there?
Uh-huh. Is that not
the
both?
Yeah. North and South America. Yeah? That's the Americas. What countries does North and South America include?
United States, Canada.
Canada, US. Brazil, Guatemala, Venezuela, Costa Rica. Yeah, all these ones, Chile. Where's your geography? We'll get a map up in a minute. All right, so that's the Americas, that bit of the world. Southeast Asia. Now, don't embarrass ourselves. What countries are included in Southeast Asia? China? Is that officially included as part of Southeast Asia? No. Try again. Philippines? Getting nods for the Philippines?
Vietnam?
Malaysia? Singapore? Cambodia? We missed any out? Thailand. How could we forget Thailand? Okay. Europe. We all know what's in Europe, yeah? We think we know what's in Europe. The map's a little bit different, actually, when you see it. We then have this Eastern Mediterranean region. Now, that's a region that I would traditionally think is the Middle East, when you see it.
Balkans.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can have a look at the map and see what you think, the Balkans. And the Western Pacific, what's left? Australia, New Zealand, all the kind of Pacific islands. And, no, Indonesia's part of Southeast Asia? Yeah. Australasia, kind of. Okay. So, they divided them up into geographic regions, but they also divide them up depending on the amount of money that the country has. Why is money important in relation to health? Absolutely, because we've already heard that if you live in an area that is socially deprived or it doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't have much of an income, you are more likely to have poor health. Okay? So it's exactly the same in terms of the kind of world health population. So let's have a look at where the world's money is. So this is an interactive map. The data is from 2015, and it shows us where all the different countries are and how much income they have, or they're classified to have. Now, there's been certain changes globally since this map. We've obviously had Brexit, Trump, other such events, so it might have changed a little, but let's have a look at the high income first of all. So that is the dark blue colours. Okay, so New Zealand, Australia, yeah? Just going to test my geography now. This bit? Europe. We've got some other, I'm sure there must be other bits and pieces. This one? Japan. This one? Chile? Yeah? And North America. Alright, US, Canada kind of thing. So these are the high income, and you can, oh, it's, yeah, it tells you on it. Alright. The other high income countries are the kind of lighter blue ones, but they're not considered to be part of a particular group. So we've got Russia, that's high income. We have Saudi Arabia, Oman, Greenland, Argentina, Venezuela. Okay. Let's go to the other extreme, the dark red. Okay? So most of that, those countries are in Africa. All right? But we also have Cambodia, Afghanistan, Nepal, and what's this little one? Korea. Yes, North Korea, of course. Okay. And then the rest are kind of considered in the middle, all right? So that includes China, Kazakhstan, a lot of South America, Mexico, for example. All right? So because, it's not strictly the case, but because most of the world wealth is in the kind of northern hemisphere, all right? Because we have kind of North America, Europe, Russia, kind of things that are considered north of the equator. Most of the money, apart from kind of good Australia and New Zealand, and some of South America, they call it Global North and Global South. All right, that's how it tends to be kind of divided up when they're talking about health and global health issues. So, this is the different regions that I was telling you about. So you might not necessarily think of them in the same way. So we've worked out the Americas, they're in the red, and we know the African region. Southeast Asian region, okay, we did not too bad at. And the Western Pacific. But look what's included as part of the Western Pacific, according to the World Health Organization. China. Okay, but you wouldn't necessarily kind of associate that. And if you look at the Eastern Mediterranean, I would kind of call that Middle East, kind of. But what is included as part of Europe? Russia. Okay. So there are different ways of kind of looking at the world and the health issues within it. So let's have a look at the low-income countries then. So that is the more kind of common way of referring to countries that are, we used to say, were kind of developing countries, all right? So these low-income countries, what kind of diseases and issues cause death? Can you see from up there? So we've got lower respiratory infections, HIV, AIDS, diarrhea, then you have stroke and heart disease, your malaria comes in. Look at this. Maternal complications, all right, that is in the top 10 causes of death. TB, again, birth complications, okay, and then this is to do with not having enough to eat, all right. So, quite different, yeah, from the list that we saw. The World Health Organization talks about communicable diseases and non-communicable diseases. So there's quite a few in here that are passed on, all right, in terms of HIV, AIDS, diarrhea through like a cause, so it's kind of causal, malaria, TB kind of things, quite a few things that can be considered communicable. If you compare that to the areas of the world that had the higher, then it looks a much more familiar picture, doesn't it? Ischemic heart disease, stroke, kind of respiratory stuff, Alzheimer's disease, COPD, and then you've got the cancers coming in. All right. A lot of these, not all of them, but a lot of these have lifestyle factors associated with them. So as the countries have higher income, come in the long-term conditions, all right? Because we tend to change our lifestyle the more money that we have. We're less active, we eat different types of food, generally tends to be kind of fast food, we have more access to food, we overeat, we have cars to take us places, transport, etc. We watch TV, we're on the internet. Kind of reflects a lot of our lives, doesn't it? Yeah. And these are all the kind of lifestyle factors that go hand in hand with the kind of health issues. If you think of Scotland in particular, you add in our love of fried food, smoking and alcohol, we're just doing so good. All right. So that's why we're seeing all the kind of high income picture here. So the World Health Organization is recognising that these long-term conditions have an impact on our lives whilst we live, okay? So we used to look at a lot of the things, and it used to be what is what is causing death across the world? But actually, for occupational therapists, we quite like to work with people who are alive. So we want to know, what are the issues that are impacting on people whilst they're alive? What are the things that are causing difficulties with their everyday activities? And the World Health Organization is also interested in this. So they have introduced a category called Disability Adjusted Life Years. And this is where they measure the health of the population, if it is completely free of any kind of long-term conditions or illnesses, you're able to live your life as you would like. And then you have the life years where you're living with disease, you're living with long-term conditions. Right? So a lot of the World Health Organization, the Global Health Reports, you will see this term DALI mentioned. And sometimes they will refer to conditions in terms of the DALI kind of factor, all right, the impact it's having on people's lives. And that's moved on from when we were talking about death as we used to. So what I'm going to quickly show you is some of the tools that we have on GCU Learn if you're interested in having a look at what's going on in particular countries to do with health and health issues. So we have this one here, it's called Country Profiles. And here you can have a look at what particular countries' issues are and where long-term conditions feature. So shout out if you've lived in another country. What country have you lived in other than the UK or Ireland?
Poland.
Is that it? America, okay. I've got to put down
Sweden,
Singapore. Sweden.
Zimbabwe.
Anybody lived in Australia? Nobody owning up to it? I was there for a year. Look at that. Okay, Australia. Okay. So, let's have a look at how these countries feature then. So, we've got all the countries of the world. So, what's in the top bit of alphabet? Australia. So, you can click on this. And it'll give you how much money they have, what their population is, the life expectancy, and how it's changing. Okay, look at this. Isn't that impressive? Okay, currently sitting about over 80s for females in Australia. What's the mortality rate for under fives? That's another kind of big health indicator across the world, as you can imagine. It's very low. Look how much that has reduced, actually. And then you have the long-term conditions. What's causing people to die? And you'll see it's very similar. So ischemic heart disease, we've got premature death, we'll look at that, lung cancer, cerebrovascular disease, so stroke comes in that. Oh, look at number four, self-harm. That's interesting. Okay, for Australia. So it gives you a feel of the country, what kind of issues are going on, all right? So, and then it starts talking about disability, what causes the most disability in Australia. And here you'll see it divides up into communicable diseases, non-communicable diseases and injuries, all right? So we'll just do a couple. Let's have a look at another one. What else is on my list? What comes next in the alphabet? Maybe Poland? Maybe come next. Scan down. Okay. All right. Still very good life expectancy, 76 and 70. Okay. Really good, under five mortality trend. Okay, and actually very similar to Australia. in terms of ischemic heart disease, cerebrovascular disease, lung cancer, self-harm, etc. Okay, so quite a kind of similar profile. Let's go a little bit further afield. Let's see how it compares with Singapore. North to a little bit further. Oh, I'm away. Where are you? Here we are. Okay, oh, Singapore is wealthy. Look at that. All the money's there. But a lovely small population. Okay. About the same as Poland, yeah? Life expectancy. I thought it was actually higher than that, actually. Oh, no, here we are. No, it's not. I'm talking rubbish. 84. It's much higher. Was I looking at the wrong thing for Poland? Okay, so what are the most common causes of premature death? Now, that's interesting. You've got lower respiratory infections in there. Is that to do with pollution, or do you know? No? Not sure? So you've got very similar ones, but then you've got this lower respiratory infections are up there at number two for premature death. And it's actually in 2015, it's the number one, yeah, cause of death for Singapore. So something's going on there. Pollution in China, well, we have a look. Okay, we'll make that the last one. When it's countries so big as China, you almost kind of feel it needs to be kind of divided up into sections, don't you? But let's have a look. 1.4 billion. Okay. So, look. Bit of a lower kind of life expectancy. Cerebrovascular disease, ischemic heart disease, COPD, lung cancer. It's very similar, actually. They do actually have road injuries. Right? As the number three cause of premature death, it's gone up. So there's obviously something going on about road safety in China. Mm-hmm. So when you start looking at it, it's really interesting, and you have a look at how health is across the world. Okay, I'm going to stop there.